This episode of the Fireside Chat revisits 2019 with an especially relevant episode about abortion. Dennis responds to the most common pro-abortion arguments to help equip listeners to have productive, values-based dialogues across the aisle.
Hi, and welcome to my home. I'm Dennis Prager. This is my home. This is my fireplace. I guess you could say it's my fire. It's a funny thing to say, but yeah. By the way, you can't even build homes with fireplaces anymore in California. So this is an older home. There's a gradual choking off of a lot of life's joys that is taking place. But that's a good subject. You know what? I want to make a list of all the joys that have been choked off. Anyway, this is just a chance for you and me to have time together. It's completely non-scripted. It's all spontaneous. So even boo-boos are allowed to remain because it just is. And I take your questions and let's go on. All right. So I think carefully about what it is I like to make some opening comments with regard to. I don't usually take things that are in the news for a lot of reasons, one of which is I want these videos, these fireside chats, to be relevant 10 years from now. I want people to watch them as if they were just made. So I try not to have dated material. I'm going to talk about a subject that's in the news, but it's not dated. I mean, it's again, this is 10 years ago or 10 years from now. This subject will still need some clear thinking, and I hope to provide that. So the subject is abortion and bills that are being sponsored in various states in the United States that would allow abortion at any time, so long as the mother believes that either her mental or physical health is involved. Then you can abort a child or fetus. I don't care what you call it, a nascent human, an unborn child, whatever you wish to call it. Can be a, but that's relevant, by the way. What we call it is relevant. I'll come back to that. But I don't care what you call it for the sake of this moment in describing the bills. So even though everyone acknowledges that in the third trimester of pregnancy, a child is completely viable outside of the mother, outside of the womb, nevertheless, that seems to have played no role in the bills that are being passed that allow it. And of course, the notion, well, only on the case of where the mother would be mentally or physically harmed, but mentally harmed means that it bothers her. Nobody denies that. So what I want more than anything else is that we tell the truth. I'm not coming at the subject from a religious or secular standpoint. I want just right now for us to be truthful. That would be an example of being truthful. That the mental health of the mother means anything that would disturb her. Excuse me. And it's allergy time here for whatever reason. But so let's acknowledge that. It's not a matter of, well, if she gives birth a month from now, she'll be mentally ill as a result. It will cause even physiological damage in her brain. So nobody really claims that. So the truth is, a woman could have it anytime she wants. That's what the bills are about. So let's talk about this subject, and let's remove as much passion as possible. And let me deal with a lot of the arguments that I have heard over a lifetime of discussing this issue. So, number one, the most common, and by the way, you can watch, I've done a video. I only do about 10% of PragerU videos, Prager University videos, and one of them is on abortion, and it is it's gotten a lot of views, but you may want to see it. But I have more time right now than in a five-minute video, obviously. The most common argument is a woman could do what she wants with her own body. Now, again, I beg of you, especially if you don't agree with me, I beg of you to just be intellectually honest here. No one is telling any woman what she can do with her own body with regard to abortion. Our society has the right to tell a woman what she can do with another body. I am stunned. I have to say, do you know what depresses me more than people I differ with on abortion? That people make arguments that make no sense and believe them. If you don't have a shared commitment to reason, you can't dialogue. What does that mean? It's her body. It's in her body. And there's such an obvious quotidian, meaning daily proof. No one has ever asked a pregnant woman, "Hey, how's your body?" Now, why not? If it's her body, that's exactly what people would say. They go, "How's the baby?" They ask how the baby well before the third trimester. Pro-choice people don't say, "How's your body?" If a pro-choice person is talking to a pregnant woman, the pro-choice person will never say, "Oh, I hear you're pregnant. How's your body?" They'd say, "How's the baby?" Only when there's a desire for abortion do we go into new rhetoric. The new rhetoric of, "Oh, it's her body," but it's not her body. And by the way, here's the irony. The same folks who say it's her body and say you can't tell a woman what she should do with her body do tell women what they should do with their bodies. That's why I've been talking, because I'm so annoyed about this movement to get rid of cheerleaders in football and basketball. They're telling women, and they did in the Miss America contest, you can't have a swimsuit competition. They didn't take a vote among the women. It was simply imposed upon them. These are the people who say a woman could do what she wants. Well, what if a woman says, "You know what, actually, I am in no way embarrassed to appear in a swimsuit. And it was part of the reason I got here. I've worked very hard on attaining this body. And it's part of what it is in real life. Looks matter. I'm okay with it." No, sorry. We're telling you that you can't do this with your body. Right? I mean, that's the irony. They told women they can't do what they want with their body with silicone breast implants. A lot of you don't know about this. It was the very same folks on the left who are so pro-choice, who were not pro-choice on women having breast implants. Said, "Oh, it causes terrible diseases." It turns out there was no science behind that, none whatsoever. The silicone breast implants did not cause any diseases that any medical professional could identify. So that's not even true that they let women. The people who say let a woman do what she wants with her own body don't let women do what they want with their own bodies. They only argue pro-choice, let a woman do what she wants with somebody else's body, the baby. So that's the next question. Is it a baby? So here, let's at least acknowledge why these bills are so frightening. Everybody, at least everybody who accepts reality, accepts science, acknowledges that in the third trimester it's a baby. I work out three days a week with a professional trainer, a young woman, and she's pregnant. She and her husband are pregnant, as it were, and she showed me at the 20th week, she showed me the ultrasound that she had taken, right? Now, it's so incredible how this technology has advanced, because when I had ultrasound of my child, it looked like you were looking at clouds. It was completely not identifiable. The OBGYN said, "Oh, look, you see, there's a penis." "Peter, what are you talking about? It's like a cloud formation to me." But anyway, by the way, not that that matters anymore, right? Because after all, you could have a penis and be a girl. This is what we are told. In New York City, you could check off when your child is born, not male or female. You could check off X. We're living in a very sick time. This is sick stuff. This is not progressive. This is primitive. This is beyond belief. This is new in human history. Anyway, so amazing. I wish I could show you this ultrasound of my trainers at 20 weeks. So at 20 weeks, obviously second trimester. And it's like the kid knows that he's being photographed and he's going, hi. And you see five fingers as if I showed you this, you would think it was a black and white of a baby's hand. It is that clear, a hand, clearly five fingers that are up. So, okay, is that a baby? So let's talk about what we all recognize as a baby, third trimester. Because in third trimester, you could remove the baby from the womb and it will live. It is a fully formed human being that can live on its own just as a child after 9 months. All right? So why would one be allowed to take the life of that baby? What if the baby were removed? Okay, let's say there was a non-abortion, but simply a premature birth, right? A surgery was made. And the child was taken out of the womb. It's very often they're called preemies, premature. It's a premature baby. Let us say that somebody walked into the hospital and smashed that baby's head, killed the baby, or shot the baby to death, all right, or stabbed it. What do you think should happen to that person? Should the person be arrested? What? Here, better, make it more clear. What if the mother killed the baby once it was born? Do you believe she should be punished? I suspect you would say yes. So now I'm not advocating that women who have abortions be punished. I'm just trying to understand what is the difference between the worth of that creature if it happens to be inside a uterus or outside a uterus. I don't get it. And I mean I don't get it. It's not I don't get it, I don't agree. I don't get it. Why is it worthless inside a woman and infinitely precious outside? Why is it infinitely precious in the first trimester if she wants the baby and worthless in the third trimester if she doesn't want the baby? You understand? There's no moral coherence here. None. That's why all I'm asking for. Get religion. Atheists can make this argument. There was an atheist writer in America named Nat Hentoff who did. Guy was a liberal. He wrote for the Village Voice, a big liberal left paper in New York City, and he said, just on science and morality grounds, I'm against abortion. That I don't believe in God. I don't believe in religion. I just don't. There's no argument. There is no argument. Put rape and incest, I'm putting aside. That it's so rare that that's the issue that, there's a famous legal doctrine. What is it? Bad cases make bad law, something like that. You can't make law based on something very rare. It's like, look. My best example, seatbelts save lives. Is that true? Yes. Do they always save lives? No. Sometimes they kill people. Sometimes they have choked people to death in an accident. Sometimes they have not been able to be released and a person burned to death in a car because they couldn't get out of the seatbelt. But so you don't talk about that. You talk about the vast majority of cases, seatbelts save lives. So putting aside rape and incest. All right? Then... I don't know on what grounds does one render this creature worthless. You can't do that to a dog. So and again, if the woman is pregnant and somebody comes and shoots her in the abdomen and the baby dies, they go to prison for homicide. But if there's no hame, then as in Homo sapien, if there's no HOM is the Latin root for person, homicide, side is kill. So if there's no killing of a human creature, why would you go to prison? If it's really just the property of the mother, then if I kill the baby a pregnant woman is carrying, I should go to prison for theft, not for homicide. All I've done is taken a possession away from her. No, so in other words, no one believes any of the rhetoric of the pro-choice world. All of that rhetoric is, the people saying it, confronted with what I'm saying, do not believe it. Is it just property? Is that what you believe it is? So if she wants it, it's a human being. If she doesn't want it, it's disposable garbage. There is no difference between garbage and the unborn. Call it whatever you want. Fetus, person, baby. These are clear issues. I'm not talking, and I make this clear by video. Don't get scared. I'm not talking legality. I'm just talking logic and morality. There is something about a civilization that says that that until it's actually born, it's worthless. It's as I often call it, a pimple. So this notion, back to the original point, you know, it's a woman that can do what she wants with her own body. It's first, aside from being a statement of such narcissism, which is what it is, because it's not her body, it's another body. That's it. Let us say we invent an artificial womb so that within 3 weeks of conception, and I'm sure this will happen, there will be the science. Within 3 weeks of conception, this tiny thing can be extracted from the woman, this fertilized egg, and placed into an artificial womb, right? Given the same nourishment, whatever, the same temperature, the same ambience, everything the same as if the child were in the mother's womb. Could you kill it then if you don't want it? Really think about it. What if the mother then say, you know, I don't want to give birth. I have no, you know, the condom broke. I never wanted this to happen. I'm gonna kill this 1 month old creature. Would that be allowed? It's not her body. That argument would end there, wouldn't it? Is she the owner? Like one owns anything and can dispose of it as one wishes. These are serious questions. Woman could do what she wants with her own body is not a serious statement. The governor of Virginia actually said that. I was stunned because it's such a vapid, it's such an empty concept. It doesn't mean anything. Okay, so that's the issue. Do you want to be intellectually honest or not? Is it a pimple or is it a precious being? That's really, you might say it's in the middle, but you've got to confront reality. Okay, where am I? Is this here? Mm-hmm. All right, okay. On to your questions. Okay, Marcus, Northern Arizona University. Marcos, not Marcus, Marcos. How can men practice masculinity today without being criticized as being toxic? There will be people who will criticize you as being toxic the moment you are masculine. So part of being masculine is not to be bothered. A masculine man is not disturbed by names, because part of masculinity is strength. I stand for X. Thank you. Have a great day. If you think my masculinity is toxic, you should go and find a man who is less masculine, and I wish you well. That's what you do. If you are preoccupied with not being called toxic, you're not masculine. John, 30, Cleveland. My soon-to-be wife is a native of communist China. How can I instill in her the American Trinity? The fact is that this question applies to Americans just as much as to Chinese. We have failed in instilling, the American Trinity. We have failed. The American Trinity is my term for the American equivalent of the Christian Trinity. The Christian Trinity is the basic belief system of Christianity, right? Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Likewise, America has E Pluribus Unum, liberty, in God we trust, right? That is the American Trinity. It's on every coin. I didn't make it up. This is not new to Dennis Prager. So, and you can't remove the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit from the Christian Trinity and still have normative Christianity. You can't say, well, I'm okay with the Son and the Holy Spirit, but not the Father. I'm okay with the Father, but there's no Son. If there's Father, there's no Son, you're not a Christian. You may be a great human being. That's not the issue. But an American is liberty, e pluribus unum, in God we trust. So we haven't instilled that in a whole generation of Americans. The same way we have to instill it in Americans, you could instill it in your soon-to-be wife from communist China. There is no difference. She is no different from the average American today who has never been taught the American Trinity. It's a tragedy, but it is the truth. That's why our videos are seen all over the world. Prager University videos are seen because it doesn't matter who the audience is. We don't address it, our videos just to Americans, because the issues are identical. What is very few unique issues. I mean, the Electoral College is a unique American issue, acknowledged. But other than that, these issues are universal. So you tell liberty, we believe in liberty, which the left doesn't. The left believes in equality, and equality and liberty are at odds with one another. In terms of equality of result, equality of opportunity, that's a separate issue. That, of course, we believe in. But the equality that the left believes in is result. And that's always going to... Look, as I've often used the example, if a baseball player and a teacher have to make the same money, I mean, that's equality, right? But then that means that people are not free to pay a shortstop or a third baseman or any position more money for bringing in more money. That's just the way it is. E pluribus unum, from many one. It's a Latin phrase, from many one. We don't care about your nationality or ethnicity or race. We are all Americans. That's the ideal. That's what it should be in every country. We don't care about your nationality or your religion or your race. We're all Bulgarians. But you have to have an affirmation of your national identity in order to have unity. That's the irony. The less national identity, the more disunity. And third is, E pluribus unum, in God we trust. Yes, that ultimately, as the Declaration of Independence puts it, our rights come from the Creator. No Creator, no rights. If rights come from man, man takes them away. That's logic. An atheist can acknowledge that. If you base rights on government, the government could change that the next day. Inalienable rights, or unalienable, I think, is the way the Declaration of Independence puts it. In other words, there are certain unalienable rights. They can't be removed because they come. We are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. That is the language of the Declaration of Independence of the United States. So those are the three values: liberty, e pluribus unum, and God we trust. And the trick is to explain it to her. If you really want an explanation, or any of you, read the book that I worked hardest to write before The Rational Bible, and that is in Still the Best Hope. And that explains American values, left-wing values, and Islamist values. It's three books in one. It's a very important book. I don't talk about it much, and I wish everybody would read it. Certainly somebody contemplating becoming an American. Still the Best Hope. Michelle, what's our time factor, my dear friends?
25.
Michelle, 54. Florida, explain why the Jewish community votes lockstep with the Democrats. You have asked me one of the most painful issues of my life, why Jews are on the left. And there are so many reasons. It is so complex. In a nutshell, non-Orthodox Jews, Orthodox Jews are on the right because they already believe in something, and that is Judaism. Most Jews don't believe in Judaism, but they do believe in the need for religion, and their religion is leftism. And it has been for 100 years. In other words, not all Jews, but a lot of Jews. Marxism, socialism, feminism, humanism, you name the ism, Jews either made it up or have helped lead it, except for Nazism. Every single ism. And the reason is Jews are very religious. It's just their religion isn't Judaism. So they adopt all these other things as substitutes for Judaism. The New York Times is a substitute for the Torah, and the prophets are the columnists and the teachers at the universities. I mean, there's a substitute for everything. A second reason is Jews identify the right with anti-Semitism. This has been a very effective propaganda coup on the part of the left. What they've done is they labeled Hitler right-wing, and ever since then, Jews think that right-wing is Hitler, Hitler is anti-Semite, therefore we have to be left-wing, because the right-wing is dangerous. So there's a sort of a cognitive dissonance, because the most pro-Jewish, pro-Israel groups in the United States are conservative. So Jews don't know exactly what to do with that. And the left wing, like in Britain, with Corbyn, the head of the socialist, the Labour Party, who was an anti-Semite. Or they say, oh, well, anti-Israel is not anti-Semitic. I ought to talk about that one. That's ridiculous. Criticism of Israel is not anti-Semitic. Anti-Israel is anti-Semitic. If the only country on the face of the earth you wish to boycott is the Jewish state the size of New Jersey, you're an enemy of the Jews. Okay? I'm not an idiot. It's like saying I'm really pro-Italian, but I want to destroy Italy. It doesn't fly. So anyway, watch my video. On YouTube, it's really important. I gave a speech in Los Angeles to 1,200. They would have had more, but they didn't have parking. 1,200 Jews who were not on the left. They were going crazy. I mean, it's a fantastic evening. You really should watch my speech. How do you find it? It's I gotta put it up more clearly on my website. But I guess if you said YouTube, Dennis Prager, Republican Jews, Los Angeles, or synagogue, anything like that, it'll come up. Really, really worth watching. I explain this whole issue of why Jews are on the left in a synagogue. All right. So, all right, we did that one. I think we're good then. I think we're about right on time. Hey, listen, I think these are very important things, these fireside chats. And so your questions and your reactions mean a great deal to all of us at Prager University. Please check out our videos. They're meant to be life-changing in 5 minutes. I mean, 5 minutes is a lot of time. It's not a lot of time. You can't study medicine in 5 minutes. But you can get some pretty powerful ideas. How long does it take to read the Ten Commandments? They did a pretty good job changing the world. Anyway, take a look at them. And in the meantime, I will hopefully see you next week. From my home to yours, thank you for watching. I'm Dennis Prager, Prager University. Thank you for watching this video. To keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.